Tonight we're speaking on the comfort of the Scriptures. People do not recognize how powerful the Scriptures can be until they have need of it. When you need something bad enough, and you turn to God's Word to find it, you discover tremendous resources are there. And that goes for almost any subject that you can think of. Until we need something in the Bible, we don't really come with that hungry heart and those perceptive eyes to recognize what is there and to draw from it the strength and the grace that we need in the given situation. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, the Apostle Paul says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." There is a comfort in the Scriptures that is infinite. There is tremendous solace in what Scripture has to say. But our eyes run across the page and fail to absorb all that's there because we aren't looking for it. We're looking for other things. And we fail to perceive the depth of the teaching that is there in Scripture, of what God's Word is really saying. Now this verse tells us that the comfort of Scripture provides hope. These things that were written in Scripture were not written merely to provide us ancient history and pious observations. They were written to meet our needs. And when we come to the Scriptures with a specific heart burden, with a particular need, all of a sudden there are verses, passages there that are flaming with light because they were inspired to meet that very need. And it doesn't matter what the need is. This book is an infinite book. It has resources vastly beyond our ability to exhaust them. And the trouble is, for most of us, we are just simply reading chapters. And we're not looking for the comfort and the help and the guidance that is actually sitting there waiting for us. And we become so familiar with passages that we kind of run through them. We know what it says. And we're not drawing strength from the wells of living water. When you have a death in the family, you're reminded very closely what Scripture really says about comfort. And I'd like to share that with you tonight, because this is a well that I have been drinking from recently. And I'd like to share with you some of the blessings and benefit from these verses. This verse instructs us very clearly that when we learn what is in Scripture and absorb what is there, it provides patience and comfort through the Scriptures. And this gives us hope. There is no burden that is permanent for the believer. We shall be rid of all of them one day. There is no sorrow, no trouble, no difficulty in this realm that can infect the next. And so this by itself is a matter of comfort to us. For the Scriptures were always written with a distinct purpose. It's not random literature. It is God's divinely inspired word to meet our needs. And comfort is part of those needs for every believer. You may have, at the present time, a prosperous and happy situation. And you're enjoying life. Praise God for it. But life is varied. And there will come a time, if you have not seen it yet, when you need comfort and strength from Scripture, and you need to recognize that there are infinite resources sitting there waiting for you. We don't drink deep at those waters usually until we really need them. Now, this verse tells us that there must be a patient study of Scripture. You don't get the best things from God's Word by hurrying through verses and just flipping by pages. Now, you can say, yes, I've read all that. The big question is, what did you get out of all that? What spiritual strength came to you through those pages? I remember years ago, I had a young man come to my office at the university. And he was a bug on memorizing Scripture. The drop of a hat, he could just rattle off verses. And I would ask him when he got through with those verses, what does that mean? And he would look at me just blankly. He couldn't tell me one thing it meant, but he had learned it, he thought. But just rote memory is not learning Scripture. It is not absorbing the strength and power that is in the book. And that's what's important, not merely the ability to rattle off verses one after another. It's good to memorize Scripture, and I'm all for that. But that's not an end in itself. We memorize it so that we can use it. And the content of what it says is what is so important for us, and that we need to meditate on. This verse tells us that through this patient study and comfort of the Scriptures, we have hope. There is no scene in this life that is despondent for the believer. There is no disappointment that you will ever face that is final. Why? Scripture tells us that this life is not the end of all of it. This life is a training ground, a preparation for the next. And God is leading us through these deep waters sometimes and difficult situations so that we will learn to trust Him, so that we will absorb from Scripture the power that is there, and we'll be able to face life in a better way because we have found out how great God's promises are. And that comfort never leaves us. It is a comfort that abides because Scripture never changes. Scripture doesn't cease being Scripture. And so at any moment, we can think back to the verses that we have learned. Let our mind dwell upon them and receive all over again the comfort and strength from Scripture, because it's there permanently. And this is what provides us hope. God is preparing us here for a vastly greater world there. And the strength that we receive here is but a foretaste of the glorification and blessing that He is prepared to give us there. What comfort and strength is really there? I'd like us to turn to Psalm 23. I could hardly think of a more familiar passage for anyone who knows the Lord and walks with the Lord. But in Psalm 23, David says in verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me." There's that word comfort once again. And here David, the shepherd boy, is meditating upon God as the great heavenly shepherd. He had obviously thought about this deeply. And he expresses it here so simply and so profoundly. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Well, David was a shepherd. He looked after sheep, and he certainly tried to meet their needs. He led them to the waters. He led them to the green pastures. He was diligent. But here is his thought of the Lord, who in a perfect way is constantly supplying the needs of His people. He always has refreshing waters for His people. He always has green pastures for His people, if we will but turn to His promises and eat the Word of Life and drink the living water that is there for us. He restores my soul. It doesn't matter how far gone you may feel. He can restore anyone. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yes, it's not a geographic travel. It's a travel through the problems and burdens of this life. And the path He leads us is one of righteousness. It is the right path. It is the path that is a blessing that will have eternal benefits and rewards for the sheep that faithfully follows. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, there is nothing that can terrify you. Death is not something to be afraid of, because for the believer, it is merely the portal, the gateway through which we pass into His presence. And that is not a terrifying thought for the believer. It is a very comforting thought. For Thou art with me. God's presence is with you every day, all the time. And should you come to the gateway of death, it's no different. God's presence is with you every step of the way, all the way through the gate. And David remembers some of his activities as a shepherd. The rod, the short club that the shepherd carries to fight off the wolves or any predators that would come. The staff, the long pole that he had that would, by tapping on the ground, remind the sheep to come and follow him. And sometimes through the crook at the end would rescue them from a crevice or a hole that they may have fallen in. And he thinks of these implements that he was very familiar with, that he carried for years. And he thinks of the Lord caring for his sheep this same way. What a remarkable picture of the loving care of God for his people. And so, yes, he's drawing comfort from the fact that God is his shepherd. And God knows every step of the pathway. And he is not going astray. And he is not in danger. No matter how dark the pathway looks, for the shepherd is with him. There's one thing about animals. When they're in what they regard as a dangerous spot, they will come to the master and get as close as they can get. Because that's where the strength is. That's where the protection is. And yes, we ought to, as sheep of the Lord, do that very same thing. Get as close to Him as we can, walking near Him, for He is the source of protection for every sheep. In Psalm 119, and verse 50, the psalmist says, "This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me." The word not only comforts, it quickens, it adds life to the person. It imparts to them the strength of God's presence, and God is the living God. And so, the psalmist had his afflictions. He had his burdens and trials, but he came to the Lord. He stood close to the Lord, and he found out that the Word imparted life to him, quickened him, strengthened him. And so, the reading of Scripture, the meditating upon what the Word says, is a source of tremendous comfort and strength to every believer who has a need. It was designed to be that. The book is not a work of literature to be put on the shelf for formal occasions. It is the living bread, the strength for every day. And as we eat this precious word, as we drink deep at the waters that are there, we find the comfort and the strength for every need, every step of the way. That is precisely why he inspired the book. It is our food. It is our source of strength. It is our encouragement. And in a profound sense, the comfort for every need that we may have. This is a good reason to hide the Scriptures in our hearts, to memorize it, so that at odd moments and in times of unexpected need, we can quote to ourselves the precious promises that are here. Call them to mind in a time of need. For this book is our great source of strength. No one can despair when they're feeding upon the bread of life, strengthened daily with living bread. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul says in verse 3, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ." Now here is an interesting fact concerning comfort. God comforts us, not just because we need it, and He does that, but because others need it. And we have to go through difficult times because of other people. And we must not forget that. Sometimes we think that God is leading us in strange pathways and unnecessary problems and such. Well, we may not need it, but others may. And because we have been there, we may be the instrument to impart comfort to them. Because we remember how powerful that word was. And in times of their need, we can share with them the strength that we have found in Scripture. And that is a very important part of our life. The experiences we go through are not all for our benefit alone. Sometimes we face difficulties because others down the pathway are going to face them even more seriously than we do. And what a help it is when we can testify to them how the Lord helped us and met our needs, and now can meet theirs too, because the verse meets everyone's need. What a blessing that is, to find God's grace in our life and to surmount difficulties, and in later years encounter others who are in desperate need and no knowledge of the verses that we have. What a blessing it is to be able to share those verses with them and provide the strength and comfort that they need, because we know they're true and others need to know as well. Paul speaks from the heart here because he suffered greatly, and he was surely able to comfort greatly because of that. He understood the depths of God's mercies and the great comfort that he had received, and he was able to share them, and through this very passage, share them to the end of the church age with all who read his epistles. What a blessing that is. Everywhere, God's people suffer afflictions, suffer difficulties and trials. And many times we can be an instrument in God's hands to provide just the exact verses needed if we take the trouble to learn them and drink deep at these waters of life, that we may share them with others in times of need. There is no greater joy for the Christian worker than to find out the experiences he has been through has equipped him to meet the needs of others. How much more should we be searching the Scriptures, feasting upon the heavenly manna, strengthening our souls through what it says, that we might be more useful tools in the hands of the Lord to be a help to others in time of need. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we have the great passage dealing with the rapture, the calling up of God's saints into His presence, 1 Thessalonians 4:13. And that passage teaches us that the Lord is coming again for His own. The day will come when He will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Aye, that tells us this portrait of the coming of the Lord Jesus for His own is not there just to provide us with eschatological truths, to provide us with a theoretical knowledge of Scripture. It is there to comfort those who are in deep need. For many people face terrible trials and troubles in this world. Some people are fearful of the end of the age. And we can reassure them because of what Scripture says. Comfort one another with these words. The disasters of the tribulation period that we have been considering in the book of Revelation are not to be our portion. No one needs to go to bed at night worrying about whether the tribulation period will suddenly begin. This very passage tells us the Lord is going to come back for His own before that happens. Comfort one another with these words. And he goes right on to say in the following chapter, "Of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." That's the tribulation period, the day of the Lord, the unexpected appearance of that time of catastrophe. But for believers, there's no worry at all. We look for the Lord. We don't look for tribulation. The tribulations we face here are minor details compared to that period. We look for His coming for His own, to be caught up into His presence, to be with Him forever. That is a comfort to every true believer. Now, we need to think of these things so that our minds are calmed and rested in the thought of His presence, His protection for His people. He will not forget us. He has promised. He keeps His promises. In chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, dropping down to verse 10, Paul speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do. Yes, if He died for us, He certainly lives for us. And we should recognize that it makes no difference to Him whether we die or whether we live. His protecting power is upon us. His presence is with us. The comfort of His presence ought always strengthen us and encourage us and enable us to walk confidently that pathway that He marks out before us. Comfort one another. Build yourselves up, he says. Edify one another. God intends endless ages of joy for His people. We do not have a dark future. We have a glorious, brilliant future in His presence, in glory. What a comfort that is. What a strength that imparts to the believer. Circumstances here are just a passing shadow. Eternity is forever. And the Savior holds the eternity in His hand. What a comfort that thought is for every last believer. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 15, the Apostle Paul exhorts, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle." And he's plainly talking about this word that he is imparting to the Thessalonians. And it doesn't matter whether it's by word of mouth through the apostolic preaching or whether it's through epistle. Those traditions are not just the vain traditions of men. They are the inspired teachings of God's holy word. So in this context, it's interesting that if we go down a little bit further in chapter 3, he says in verse 6 of chapter 3, "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us, And plainly, he's thinking about these inspired words that he is writing. They are absolutely binding upon every believer, upon the conscience of each Christian. And so, in the light of that binding power of Scripture, look back in verse 16 now in chapter 2. Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, and God, even our Father, who hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. What a benediction that He lays upon the people of God through all the ages of church history. He has given us everlasting consolation, good hope through His grace. And so, yes, let's comfort our hearts. Let's encourage ourselves in the Lord, because He does not forget His promises. He keeps every one. And He promises so specifically to His people that He is guarding their steps. He is guiding them homeward. He is the good shepherd who will see to it that every sheep is in His fold. And when the number of the redeemed is finished, then He will come back and receive them all into His presence for endless joy in the glory of God and that blessed place that He is preparing for His sheep. What a comfort there is in Scripture for every believer. My friends, we must drink deep at these verses, this refreshing water of life. For God does not intend us to be somber and sad in this realm. Our troubles here are fleeting. They're only for a short time. But the joy of His presence and the fellowship of the saints is eternal. And we can look forward to it with confident expectation. The Good Shepherd cares for His sheep. We are traveling homeward, and in His presence there is joy forevermore. Let's pray. O Lord, how we thank Thee for Thy care for Thy flock. How we thank Thee for Thy loving encouragement for each sheep. And we pray that Thou wilt help us, Lord, that we may turn to Thy Word and devour the precious promises that are there, and apply them to our hearts and lives, and drink deep of that water of life. Help us to be mindful of Thy Word, and to walk humbly with Thee day by day, looking to Thee for grace and strength and comfort each day. Help us, Lord, to live in Thy presence and to walk with Thee homeward. For Jesus' sake, Amen.